questions by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. I am now handing you over to your host, Karine Adam, Head of Bouygues Investor Relations, to begin today's conference.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to remind everyone that you can find on the company website at www.bouygues.com the earnings press release, the presentation we will be commenting on during this conference call, an Excel file with historical key figures for the group and each business, and the company financial statements. Statements made on this call are forward-looking statements. Such statements reflect objectives that are based on management's current expectations or estimates and are subject to a number of factors and uncertainties that could cause actual figures to differ materially from those described in the forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Philippe Marien, Deputy CEO of Bouygues.
Thank you, Karine. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us. I would like to welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss Bouygues' nine-month results. With me in the room is Christian Lecoq, CFO of Bouygues Telecom. Following my comments, we will be answering your questions. To begin on slide four, I would like to highlight the very good commercial performance in all our businesses, as well as the strong results of Bouygues Telecom and TF1. First, all our businesses have achieved robust commercial performance. Bouygues Telecom net adds have accelerated in Q3 in both mobile and FTTH in a highly competitive market. At TF1, year-on-year TV advertising revenues increased by 7% in Q3 and by 2.5% for the nine-month period, driven by the FIFA World Cup and back-to-school programs. And the construction businesses are well positioned in upbeat markets in France and internationally, with the backlog remaining at a record level at end September. And second, Bouygues Telecom continued to deliver strong earnings growth thanks to a strategy focused on reliable and high-quality networks and a simple and seamless customer experience. As shared with you on October the 18th, Bouygues Energy and Services has faced difficulties in the completion of three projects, and Colas has experienced some challenges in its special activities in France, in the rail business, and on a pipeline work site. This led to a decrease in the 9 months 2018 profitability for the construction businesses. However, net profit attributable to the group is up €83 million year-on-year, benefiting from an increase in Alstom's net contribution. Turning to key figures on slide 5, sales were up 6% year-on-year, driven by all businesses. Like-for-like and at constant exchange rates, sales increased by 4%. 9 months 2018 current operating profit of €820 million was driven by the following factors. First, we benefited from a significant increase in the profitability of Bouygues Telecom in a highly competitive market with a year-on-year growth of €51 million. Second, TF1 delivered good results despite the cost of airing the FIFA World Cup, thanks to an increase in TV advertising sales, new revenue sources such as the TF1 premium offer, and the business ability to adjust its cost structure. Third, Bouygues Immobilier's current operating profit grew €17 million year-on-year, excluding the one-off impact of Nextdoor capital gain of €28 million in Q3 2007. And lastly, we experienced a decline at Bouygues Construction and at Colas, as previously explained. 9 months 2018 group current operating profit also included €17 million related to the cost of acquisitions, as well as the purchase price allocation recorded in TF1's Q3 2018 accounts. Please keep in mind that the PPA related to the recent acquisitions will be booked in current operating profit as soon as they are finalized. Operating profit was stable compared to the same period last year, slightly above 1 billion euros. It included notably non-current income of 110 million euros in Q3  2018, related to the 1,800 MHz frequency charges at Bouygues Telecom. Let me explain this. At end 2014, the Conseil d'État canceled the decree published in March 2013, increasing the tariff of the 1,800 MHz frequency fees used for 4G. While waiting for the publication of the new decree establishing the tariff, Bouygues Telecom maintained a prudent approach and continued to book charges at higher level. At end Q3 2018, the French state confirmed that it was maintaining the tariff at its historical level with no increase. As a result, Bouygues Telecom canceled the charges accounted for prior 2018, generating non-current income of 110 million euros. Finally, net profit attributable to the group increased from a year ago, including Alstom's contribution of 230 million euros in 9 months 2018, a 125 million euro increase over last year's contribution. Let us now turn to slide six to see the net debt evolution from end December 2017 to end September 2018. On slide six, net debt was 5.5 billion euros at end September 2018, up by 3.6 billion euros compared to end December 2017. Compared to September 2017, net debt was up by 1.8 billion euros. The increase over year-end is explained by several items. First, an outflow of 1.6 billion euros in acquisition and disposals, coming mainly from the following three acquisitions: Miller McAsphalt by Colas in Q1, Au Féminin by TF1 in Q2, and Alpiq Engineering and Services by Bouygues Construction and Colas in Q3. Second, 138 million euro decrease in the line other, due mainly to share buybacks and the exercise of fewer stock options. Third, the usual business seasonality. Regarding change in operations, you can see that it is improving compared to the same period last year. Turning to the breakdown of operations, slide seven, you can observe that net cash flow increased by 123 million euros year-on-year, driven by Bouygues Telecom and TF1. Net CapEx is up 216 million euros, due mainly to Bouygues Telecom. Last, working capital requirement decreased by roughly 150 million euros year-on-year, benefiting from an improvement related to operating activities. We still expect net debt of around 4 billion euros at year-end. I will now turn the review of operations, starting with the construction businesses. Let's begin with the backlog on slide 10. The commercial momentum in our construction businesses remained strong in the third quarter of 2018, in line with the first half trend. Indeed, the group construction business' strength and its positioning as developer, builder, and operator bring us favorable competitive advantages in markets demonstrating strong worldwide demand over the long term. The backlog evolution at end September 2018 reflects the trends we explained to you during our Capital Market Day. First, the backlog at end September 2018 of 33.8 billion euros reached once again a record level, up 13% year-on-year and up 15% at constant exchange rates, reflecting a higher demand for more complex and sophisticated projects. Second, the Bouygues Construction and Colas international backlog was 59% of total backlog at end September, compared to 56% over the same period last year. This demonstrates growing globalization in the construction sector. Third, 49% of Bouygues Construction's backlog at end September 2018 has an execution date of more than 2 years versus 35% 10 years ago, illustrating the longer duration of the projects. Let us now turn to France, where we have good visibility, as illustrated on slide 11. In France, commercial momentum is good, with a backlog at end September 2018 up 5% year-on-year. This momentum is driven by tenders for the Grand Paris project, demand for renovation of building and infrastructures, the construction of new complex projects, and the need for maintenance in roads and rails. Some significant contracts have been booked in Q3 2018, including the laying of track and catenary on Line 15, southeast of Grand Paris, for 108 million euros, the renovation of the 17th Boulevard Morland and old administrative city in Paris for 146 million euros. This project is one of the 22 sites in the call for tenders for Reinventing Paris. Outside of Paris, Comet, a unique program bringing together a concert hall, an exhibition center, and a sport hall in Orléans for 107 million euros. Let us now move to international markets, where the construction businesses achieved strong commercial performance. International markets are globally dynamic, especially in countries where the group has a long-standing presence. In this environment, the international backlog was up 20% year-on-year, excluding Miller McAsphalt and at constant exchange rates. Orders for the quarter notably include two major contracts: the construction of the main tunnel for the M4-M5 WestConnex link in Sydney for around 650 million euros, and the construction of Cambridge University's physics laboratory for 281 million euros. Let's now move to the nine-month results for the construction businesses. Turning to slide 13. We're up 6% year-on-year and up 4% like-for-like at constant exchange rates, reflecting the good commercial performance of our construction businesses in France and abroad. The construction business's current operating profit was 406 million euros, compared to 579 million euros in nine months last year. I would like to focus on the following points. First, the increase in profitability at Bouygues Immobilier, excluding the Nextdoor one-off impact of 28 million euros in Q3 2017. Bouygues Immobilier's nine months current operating margin reached 6.5%, up 0.9 points year-on-year. Second, the strong performance of building and civil works activities at Bouygues Construction, with current operating margin at 4.1% in nine months, improving by 0.4 points year-on-year. This level of margin is particularly high compared to a normative level of 3.5%. You know perfectly that we can be above or below this level depending on the start date of new projects in the pipeline. Third, Colas performed well in roads in France in the 9 months. Sales in the roads business were up 10% in France, and current operating margin was up 0.4 points in the first 9 months of 2018 compared to the same period last year. Now let me turn the call over to Christian.
Thank you, Philippe. As you will see, Bouygues Telecom's very good commercial momentum has continued with strong financial performance in Q3 2018. Starting with slide 15, you can observe that we maintain very good performance in mobile during the quarter, despite heavy promotional activity in the market. We won 475,000 new mobile customers in the third quarter of 2018, of which 199,000 were new plan customers, excluding M2M. At end September 2018, Bouygues Telecom served 15.8 million customers. All in all, 1.4 million mobile customers have joined us in the first 9 months of 2018. This success is the result of our strategy in mobile since end 2013 to differentiate through the quality of our 4G network, which improves customer service. According to ASEP's latest survey, and as shown on slide 16, Bouygues Telecom is ranked number one in rural areas and all the towns of less than 10,000 inhabitants in voice, SMS, and mobile broadband. And Bouygues Telecom is recognized second on average in France thanks to the quality of its mobile network. This excellent position is acknowledged notably in rural areas where we are ahead of SFR while we have the same coverage and share the same networks. It demonstrates the quality of our technical network teams. Bouygues Telecom continues to strengthen its leadership in 4G through coverage, densification, optimized frequency, and network management. At end September 2018, Bouygues Telecom attained 98% 4G coverage and expects to reach 99% at end 2018. In non-dense areas, Bouygues Telecom is finalizing the completion of the shared network with 87% rollout at end September 2018 and 95% expected at end 2018. In dense areas, we anticipate adding 2,000 additional sites by 2022 to densify the number of sites and prepare the arrival of 5G. In parallel, Bouygues Telecom has optimized its network configuration and reallocated bandwidth to 4G to offer higher speed to customers through spectrum aggregation. After the 700, 800, 1800, and 2600 MHz bandwidth, it is now the 2100 MHz that can be used for 4G. Moving to slide 17, we see that FTTH net adds have accelerated in Q3 2018. Bouygues Telecom won 71,000 new FTTH customers in the third quarter of 2018, resulting in a total number of FTTH customers of 467,000 at end September 2018. FTTH customer base has more than doubled compared to 1 year ago and represents 13% of the fixed customer base. We expect this positive trend to continue, supported by an increase in premises markets and the success of our new range of offers launched last April. At end September 2018, Bouygues Telecom had a total of 6.3 marketed premises. The number of premises marketed will continue to accelerate in 2019 in order to meet our goal to market 12 million premises by end 2019 and 20 million premises by 2022. Overall, the total customer base reached 3.6 million broadband users at end September 2018. Slide 18 highlights the sharp increase of Bouygues Telecom's profitability in the first 9 months of 2018. Total sales were up 6.5% year-on-year. Sales from services rose 5% thanks to continued growth in the customer base and the positive impact of the launch of a new range of fixed and mobile offers in Q2 2018 in a highly competitive market. In the third quarter of 2018, mobile plan ABPU slightly increased compared to the third quarter of last year, and fixed ABPU stabilized at 25.5 euros per month compared to Q2. EBITDA for the 9 months was 931 million euros, an increase of 15% year-on-year. Moreover, EBITDA margin on sales from services was up 2.7 points to 29.4%. Excluding the impact of the 1800 MHz frequency charges, EBITDA margin would have been up 2.1 points. This is due to the fact that 2017 EBITDA would have been higher without the provision we accounted for last year for the use of our 18 MHz frequencies. Operating profit was 44% compared to the first 9 months of 2017. In Q3 2018, it notably includes non-current income of 110 million euros related to the 1800 MHz frequency charges accounted for prior to 2018, as explained previously by Philippe, and 60 million related to the transfer of sites to Cellnex. Gross capex of 920 million euros in the first 9 months is in line with expectations for 2018. I would like now to focus on our B2B segment. Looking at slide 19, the B2B market represents a strategic priority for Bouygues Telecom. Bouygues Telecom Enterprise is today the third B2B telecom operator in France, thanks to continued investment in proprietary mobile and fixed infrastructures and high-quality customer service. It offers a full range of mobile, fixed, internet and network innovative solutions, as well as related services such as digital, cloud, and security. Its mobile market share is over 20% in France, with a presence in 35% of large companies and 10% of SME. In fixed, the market share is lower at around 3%, but growing steadily. Our ambition is to strengthen Bouygues Telecom Enterprise position in both mobile and fixed. First, by expanding fixed market share on new innovative services for large companies and mid-sized businesses, and second, by increasing mobile and fixed market share in the fast-growing SME segment, notably through external growth. This explains why we decided to enter into negotiations to acquire a 43.6% interest in KO Communications. Let us now move to slide 20 to give you more details on this company. KO Communications is a telecom operator targeting exclusively SME and mid-sized businesses, which represents a market of around 3.5 billion euros. KO Communications benefits from strong assets, a well-known brand with an excellent customer satisfaction level, a strong expertise in marketing and advanced digitalization, and simple, reliable, and competitive solutions with a fully internal control technical platform. It will bring complementary, virtual, and convergent offers in fixed with a strong expertise in advanced digitization to Bouygues Telecom Enterprise. KO Communications has a customer base of 14,000 clients and 200,000 end users. For 2018, sales are expected to be up 30% compared to 2017, with current operating profit of €3.1 million. KO Communications is a Paris Euronext growth listed company. Bouygues Telecom will acquire a 43.6% interest in KO Communications in an off-market block trade, priced at €34 per share. The €34 price share values 100% of the share of KO at around €67 million. The public tender offer is expected to close during H1 2019, and the completion of the transaction is subject to usual conditions.
Thank you, Christian. I would like to briefly comment on the financial statements. We have already looked at sales and current operating profit shown on slide 5. Let us now have a look at other income and expenses contributing to operating profit on slide 22, which shows an improvement of €116 million year on year. This improvement is explained mainly by the non-current income of €110 million at Bouygues Telecom, as said before. Cost of net debt decreased slightly. Turning to slide 23, you can see that income tax expenses increased slightly, leading to an effective tax rate of 30% for the first 9 months 2018. Moving to the associates and joint ventures line, the change is explained by Alstom's net contribution of €230 million in the first 9 months 2018 versus €105 million in the same period of last year. Finally, we will turn our attention to the outlook for the full year. As you can read on slide 25, and as stated at the beginning of this call, we confirm the outlook shared with you on October the 18th. This concludes my presentation. Operator, please open the floor for questions.
Okay, so as a reminder, we do have some questions coming through, but if you would like to ask a question, it's star one on your telephone keypad. Okay, so our first question comes in from the line of Nicholas calling from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. First question on telecoms. Mobile ARPU growth has accelerated in Q3 despite a very strong push on promotions in September. On the other side, your broadband ARPU is under tremendous pressure at minus 5.6%. Can you explain the underlying factors driving both ARPUs? And my second question is on energy and services. Obviously, you had big losses in the UK. Just wondering if you have a specific strategic plan to reorganize the overall operation. If yes, what could be the role of Alpiq? And eventually, what could be done in France, where energy and services appears to be a subscale to me? Thank you.
So about the ABPU. First, on the fixed, yes, we have a decrease in ABPU compared to Q3 2017, but the level is stable compared to last quarter. The decrease compared to last year is the same things as the last quarter. We have a decrease in commissioning costs from around €60 paid at the beginning by the customer to €30. We still have the effect of the promotions. And we also have a mixed effect because the weight of the cable offer in our install base is coming smaller and smaller, and this kind of clients have a higher ABPU. This is the fix about the mobile. We are very happy to be able to stabilize our ABPU. This is due to the fact that we are able to monetize the quality of our network and the quality of our services, while following promotions made by competition in the similarly web-only segments.
So regarding energy and services, first, the very very poor result and the losses are coming from three very specific and unique projects, in fact. So first, we have to deal with these three projects. One is under contractual and legal discussion with the client, and the two others are on the commissioning phases. So we are totally under operational issues and set of measures. More generally, regarding Bouygues Energy and Services, we have to improve the profitability of this activity as a whole, and mainly by moving from lower margin generation type of businesses to higher generation business. It was, in fact, the move that we have done with these three projects. Unfortunately, the start was not good, but the idea remains the same, to move to more industrial activity. So we will put that in place in the coming months. That's for Bouygues Energy and Services. Alpiq will help Bouygues Construction to reinforce its energy and services activity as a whole, but we don't want to merge the two companies. Clearly, Alpiq has some very good expertise in terms of industrial activity, in terms of power stations, construction and activities. So we will reinforce the general activity, but we don't want to use Alpiq to help Bouygues Energy and Services. We will continue to split the two activities under the leadership of Bouygues Construction.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Thomas Moreno, calling from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just had a question about your Australian JV with Lendlease. I had two questions, actually. The first one being, are you consolidating the results of this JV? My second question is, Lendlease announced last week a U.S. $350 million provision due to difficulties in NorthConnex, which is a project that is managed by this JV. With you, do you expect to report any losses in relation to this project going forward? Thank you very much.
Yes, so the regarding the press release of Lendlease, unfortunately for them, the only reason of their provision is not the NorthConnex project. NorthConnex project is part of their provision. For sure, we are facing some difficulties on this project with Lendlease, and obviously we already booked overruns on this project in the 9 months, for sure. However, as you have seen, we were able to deliver a global margin of 4.1% in our building and civil works activity. It demonstrates that we have also very, very good projects in front of this one project with some overruns, for sure. That's the response for the North project. Obviously, we are totally involved in this project, and we take our share of overruns. But as you have seen, these overruns on this project has no negative impact as a whole for the profitability of the building and civil division.
Recognize losses in relation to this project during the 9 months results.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But it's part of the very, very good profitability of building and civil. You know, our life is made on a daily basis with a series of good projects, a series of very good projects, a series of bad projects, and a series of very bad projects. In fact, the point is to have a good balance between all these elements. Unfortunately for us, during Q3, We had these three projects regarding Bouygues Energy and Services specifically, and the balance was not good in the Q3, but life is made of good and bad projects in this business. And again, I repeat the explanation of the whole provision of land lease is not linked only to the NorthConnex project.
Sorry, and in relation to my first question, you are then fully consolidating the results of this JV?
Yes, for our share. It's a joint venture, so we take our share, so 50% on this project.
Okay, thank you.
But it's part of our operational result. As for every GV, there is no difference between this one and all the GVs we have all over the world.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes in from the line of Frederic Boulan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Fred at Bank of America. Thanks for taking the question. First of all, I would like to come back to the previous question on mobile ARPU in particular. We're seeing offers from Bouygues Telecom at 5-10 euros. So I'm just trying to understand what's the percentage of gross ads you're making on those very cheap offers, and what's the dynamic you're seeing elsewhere in terms of upselling to drive overall ARPUs to increase. Secondly, we're seeing strong growth in other telecom revenues, so outside of service revenues. Can you detail, for instance, for the first 9 months, out of 760 million of revenues, what's low-margin hardware versus tower sale, what's recurring from non-recurring if we look at this business stream in a couple of years? And then more broadly on the construction side, after the warning, maybe a month after the warning, if you could come back a little bit on your view on what you call normalized margins, for instance, in the construction side of role, do you think as early as 2019 we can go back to above 3% levels and towards your normalized margins? If you could shed a bit of light on phasing here. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I start with your last question. Regarding the evolution of the margin in construction, there is absolutely no change from our point of view with what we have said on the 2nd of October during the Capital Market Day. So we remain with the same idea of what we call a normative margin in the construction for Colas, Bouygues Telecom, Bouygues Construction and Bouygues Immobilier. So absolutely no change, around 3.5% for building and civil works and Bouygues Construction, between 3.5 and 4 for Colas, and around 8% for Bouygues Immobilier. So we remain with this idea. Again, the counter performance of 2018 only due to these one-shot issues. Regarding the precise target for 2019, we will explain that at the beginning of the year when we achieved our plans, and we will present our 2018 results. So, same target for 2019. We will speak about that beginning of 2019.
So I will answer about your two telecom questions. I will begin with the amount of other sales revenue. The other sales revenue has increased by 30 million in Q3 2018 compared to Q3 2017. This increase is explained by mainly three elements. First, we had an increase in terms of accessories and handsets sold to our clients. Second, as you said, we have the effect of the Cellnex contract with a positive impact on sales, but a margin impact on EBITDA. And last point that you will see also the next coming year, due to the way we are accounting for connecting the revenue and the cost for connecting FTTH customers. So we have a revenue coming from the building operators. We have also a cost to pay to the building operators. And third, we have a second cost to pay to the subcontractors. So you have a kind of revenue, but it's not a real revenue, I would say. And it is increasing this year because we have more FTTH subscribers, and it will continue for the next years. About the mobile ABPU, we'll just remind you that in the mobile market, there are two segments. First, the SOHO segment, which represents less than one-third of the mobile market in terms of value. We value this market at around 4 billion euros. The competition on this mobile market is very, very strong on the SOHO market with promotions, flash sales, lifetime tariffs, and so on. And so the volume of gross adds is very high on this market, and the churn rate is also very high. But it is not very important because we do not have some variable commercial costs for gross adds made on this market because this is only web-only market. On the other hand, you have the high-end offers. The market is quieter, so around 8 billion euros per year in terms of value. We are very happy with our market share on this market. On the strategy, we meant to continue to focus on monetizing the quality of our network, of our 4G network. We present you that we are now ranked number one in rural areas in France, number two in average for our mobile network quality, and also to monetize on this market the quality of service. On this market, we are able to upsell our clients, to sell them more services, to upsell them to a bigger offer with new services, new more data, and so on. And that's why the mix of that is that we are able to stabilize our BPU, while we are able also in the same time to continue to increase our number of clients.
Thank you. Maybe just to follow up on other sales, if you could give us a rough idea at this stage for the first 9 months, what's the split in those three different brackets, and what handsets, what cell
we
legs,
do not,
contract,
what sorry, market, very we broadly. We do not disclose that.
Thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Thomas Coudry. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Question on telecoms and your guidance. Actually, given the performance that you've delivered over the nine first months of the year in terms of EBITDA and growth in services revenue, I'm wondering why you're not being more specific or ambitious in terms of full year guidance as far as sales from services growth is expected, and also as far as EBITDA margin is expected. And concerning specifically the EBITDA margin guidance, can you please confirm that the guidance is also true if we're excluding the impact of the cancellation of the provisions of the 1800 megahertz frequencies? Thank you very much.
So about turnover guidance, we do not change our guidance. It is more than 3%. I always said that the important term is more, so it will be more than 3%. We do not have any guidance in EBITDA level and EBITDA margin. And about the cancellation of charges, what is exactly your question? Sorry.
Well, you have a guidance of EBITDA margin should be higher than in 2017.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if that guidance was also true if we were taking the 2017 basis, excluding the provision on the 1800 megahertz fee.
But the 2018 EBITDA is the real one, because we do not have anymore this kind of charges in our EBITDA. What you should do is to restate the 2017 EBITDA to have the real level of last year EBITDA, and with that, you will be able to compare the margin of last year to the margin of this year. I think that we gave you all the figures to be able to do that. As we said to you, that the difference at 9 months, for the 9 months between last year and EBITDA without 18 megahertz frequency charges and the EBITDA of this year is 2.1 points, if I remember, I think it was bigger, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So you have all the figures to calculate.
The next question comes in from the line of Jakob Bluestone. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Jacob here from Credit Suisse. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, just on the construction side, when you pre-announced, you mentioned that you weren't expecting any spillover effects, aside from the rail strikes, I think, into Q4. Can you just confirm, you know, that is indeed still the case? So, you know, is Q4, I guess, going to be a slightly cleaner quarter? And then just secondly, on the telecom side, on the KO acquisition, can you maybe comment on what sort of synergies you see? And presumably, you need to get to majority ownership before you can realize those synergies. And then just finally, on spectrum in France, can you maybe comment a little bit on your sort of expectations about the 3.5 gigahertz license allocation, which I guess is next year? You know, given what we've seen in Italy, do you see any risk of a sort of runaway auction in France, or is your sense just generally that the French authorities are pretty rational these days and not trying to maximize proceeds? Thank you.
Okay, so regarding your first question, definitely we confirm that we have taken all the negative impact in Colas Rail, so we will have what you call a cleaner quarter, and so the fourth one will be definitely clean regarding the negative impact of the in Colas Rail.
So first, for your question of KO, our main goal by acquiring KO is to be able to increase our market share, of course, but also KO, as I said, very good assets in terms of IT. Good clients
process, yes.
Good clients process and so on.
They are very digital.
And they are very digital, and so very, very good thing for us. I cannot speak to you about synergy level, as they will be IPO. And so I cannot disclose anything before the IMF prospectus. Your last point was about 3.5 gigahertz frequency. We do not know now if there will be some auction or not. Of course, if there is some auction, we will look at them. And if there is no auction, we will also look at this band, because this band is very important for 5G. Well, we expect that, we hope that the price won't be the same as in Italy, because we think that the French government main goal is to split frequency equally between all operators, as they did at the beginning of this year with the new deal signed between all the four operators and the government.
Thank you very much.
No more questions? Operator? Operator, please? No more connection?
Hello, I can confirm you are still connected in the conference.
Okay, so next question?
The next question comes in from the line of Josh Hallett. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is just on, you know, your performance, particularly on mobile, is pretty remarkable given where the market is. I was just wondering if you could explain why you think you're doing so much better than competitors and where you think you're taking subscribers from. And then that being the case, I was just wondering, you know, is your view on consolidation still that, you know, you think this is something that's very positive and should be done, or are you kind of happy with just carrying on growing organically? And the final question on that consolidation point is Altice like the only realistic option given you already have integrated, you know, you've done a lot of work together on the infrastructure, on the fixed and the mobile side? Does that mean that basically it's the only option if it came to M&A in France? Thanks very much.
So regarding consolidation, again, there is the consolidation is absolutely not at the agenda for many reasons. And the first of them is the fact that there is no seller. So if there is no seller on the market, obviously consolidation is not possible. Again, I repeat that in case of possible consolidation, Bouygues Telecom will consider a consolidation deal as the actor of the consolidation. We want to remain in this business, and if we are able to grow in this business, why not? But again, there is absolutely nothing today leading to think about that, and so our target is clearly to develop the company and to take benefit from our positioning and to continue to grow and to reach the level of free cash flow we want to reach. Regarding the dynamic of the market and the reason of our good dynamic, Christian?
Yes, the result of our good dynamic is the result of our strategy in mobile. We are now increasing our market share in London Sarua thanks to the share network we rolled out with SFR. And it is also the result that lead ARCEP to put us in the first place for the quality of our network, of mobile network in this area. So it's only the result of the job we've done for now 2 or 3 years.
Yes. So bigger network. Good quality of the network, good quality of our customer care processes, and the quality of our outlet network. So again, quality, which was one of the three pillars of our strategy in 2015, and the result is the fact that we are able to grow despite the very competitive environment. Again, we consider that the mobile business is not a commodity business, because there is difference between the various operators, and when you offer more quality, you are better, and you are in a better dynamic than competition, despite again a very aggressive price on one part of the market.
Great, thanks very much.
The next question comes in from the line of Jerry Dallas, calling from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. First question is related to the fee reduction on the 1800 megahertz frequency. Does that have a cash flow impact on Bouygues Telecom? In other words, were you actually paying out cash at the higher provided level in the past? And to that extent, would there be a reversal going forwards? Second question is on fixed broadband. It would be interesting to know, please, what proportion of your fixed broadband base is currently on some form of promotional price. And then finally, also on fixed broadband, you mentioned that one of the reasons why the ARPU trend appears a little soft is because of the dilutive effect of cable customers coming out. I wondered if you could confirm, please, how many cable customers remain and for how much longer that cable attrition is likely to remain a drag. Thank you.
Well, first question about the impact of the frequency. So the release in non-current income of the 110 million euros related to the 18 megahertz frequency charges has two effects. First, an increase in terms of cash flow from operation before tax, and so an increase in terms of free cash flow excluding working capital requirement. But in the same time, as it was only a provision, we have a deterioration in terms of working capital requirements. So in total, the impact on the free cash flow is neutral. On the free cash flow after working capital requirement is at zero, excluding taxes, because of course we have some tax due to on the profit we made this year. Your second question was about our percentage of clients in our fixed broadband that are in a promotion. So we do not disclose this kind of information. And it's very difficult to give you an answer because you have clients, of course, at maybe 5 euros, you have the clients at 10, you have clients at 15, at 25. So what is the where do you put the level below the one you have some you consider your clients are in promotions? And remind you that in the fixed market, all operators have lower tariffs for the first year for their clients. So the first year, when you take some clients, during the first year, the clients are at a lower level, but not a big level of promotion. So it could be clients, for example, at 19 euros for the first year, and then maybe 29 the years after. Your last question was about our number of clients in cable. So we do not disclose this kind of information also, but the number of clients is decreasing very quickly, and they were very high in the past. And now we are migrating these clients to our FTTH infrastructures.
Could I just follow up, please? Thank you for that. In terms of fixed broadband ARPU, in the grand scheme of things, are you confident that we will see some sort of improvement in that fixed broadband ARPU trend? I mean, there must be a lot of customers on promotional pricing at the moment. And as those customers go back to list, would that make an ARPU should improve?
So in the fixed market, our strategy is still the same. We want to attain 4 million customers in the midterm, so let's say 2 or 3 years. And we, our marketing strategy is focused on that and not on ABPU. And also, I remind you that globally, we are not focused on our level of ABPU. What is important for us is the growth in terms of turnover billed to the client, revenue billed to the client. That is the important figure.
Thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Eric Lemery. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I got three questions, if I may. First question, what is your current perceptions of the margin within your backlog today? Second question, what is the impact of Alpiq in your order intake and order book figures at end September? I suspect it's small, but just checking. And the last question regarding Bouygues Immobilier. Reservations are down 9% in the residential segment. When do you think this decline will be translated into revenues decline? Thank you.
Alpiq has absolutely no impact in our end of September figures, neither in terms of backlog, nor in terms of net sales, not in terms of results. So, no impact on for Alpiq, except obviously in our balance sheet in terms of acquisition, but no impact in terms of operational figures. Regarding Bouygues Immobilier. Clearly, we have a decrease in reservation, mainly for private investor in the private investor segment. You know that we have seen that since the beginning of the year. In fact, compared to 2017, when this segment was at a very high level, thanks to low interest rates and the Pinel law, so the buy-to-rent scheme. The effect is decreasing in 2018, and it's true for the whole sector. Nexity and Kaufman had the same comments as us. Even if the product is a good one, the financial environment is good. The general environment is not good for this type of investors because of a relatively negative speech from the French government and from the French president regarding real estate investors, the increase of all the taxes, the new tax regarding the property and no more financial investment, withholding tax for the future income tax in the future. All these negative noise are not good, and the result of that is clearly a relatively big decrease in terms of reservation on this segment. Despite that, and even if it is a decrease compared to 2017, if you look at a longer period, clearly we have a relatively good level in absolute term in terms of reservation. The consequence of that in terms of net sales is with a time lag of 18 months, something like that.
Okay, 18 months. And what about your perception of the margin today in your backlog for construction and Colas? Do you think they are above or below the
No, there is no specific comment on the margin in the backlog. We see no real movement, increase or decrease.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Alexander Roncier. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking the question. I just wanted to come back on the 1800 impact at the telecom unit. Can you just clarify if the impact and the adjustment is evenly split across every quarter, and thus if you can extrapolate the 9 months into the full year for the comparable basis next year? And then secondly, on the profitability and the organic improvement still on telcos, is there any specific action you've had on your cost base, or is that just like directly flowing through from your increased service revenue? And secondly, on that same question, if you could give us a little bit more color on how much is actually driven from the shared network rollout with SFR, and what's left given your target of 95% rollout on your shared network by 2018 end? Thanks.
So first about the 18 megahertz frequencies, as the decree taken by the government has been published in Q3, all the impact has been taken by us in Q3. So we accounted for this charges, these provisions last year and the year before, and also in Q1 and Q2 2018. And we reverse this provision in non-current income for the period before the end of 2017 and in EBITDA for the charges we have taken in Q1 and Q2. So you have a positive impact in Q3, but no impact if you look only at the nine-month period, because there is no more 18 megahertz frequency charges in our account for the total year, this total year.
So clearly, 2008, the first 9 months, 2018, are a total normal year regarding this item.
Okay, and thus, if I can just follow up on that, I can, if I want to just rebase 1Q, 2Q, and 3Q, I can evenly spread the difference between your organic improvement and reported improvement.
Sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
It's just if the fee that you were provisioning before, were you provisioning the same amount across every quarter? Or
Yes, that's
clear.
Your second question was about the improvement on our EBITDA. So of course, a big part of the improvement is coming from our service revenue growth. We also still focus, of course, on our level of cost, and we expect to have in the next coming years improvement coming from FTTH due to the fact that we won't have to pay anymore the fees to Orange for the copper local loop. And your third question was about
how much driven by share network.
What is our market share driven by our share network with SFR? Yes, we are improving our market share in the rural areas thanks to this network. In some part of France, our market share was very, very low, and we are also increasing our commercial presence in this part of France, and we will roll out some shops in this part of France the next year.
That's very clear. Thanks.
The next question comes in from the line of Giovanni Montalti. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you give us some more color about the current trading in France on the telecom market? Is there any sign of improvement or any sign of further deterioration? And leaving consolidation aside, do you think current dynamics that apparently are pretty tough, especially at the low end of the market, are sustainable into next year? You would expect the same level of commercial intensity, promotional intensity in 2019? Thank you.
So about the current trading in telecom in France, I just would like to remind you that Q4 is always, as each year, a very promotional period because in Q4 you have Christmas sales. And unfortunately, Christmas appears each year. So I think it will be the same this year. We will see. But the current dynamic is still the same. So very high level of promotion in the mobile business on the SIM-only, web-only market. As I said, the premium market is much quieter with the ability to sell quality to our clients. And on the fixed, we still have some promotions. It was the case especially in Q3 because you have the back-to-school period in September, which is a special period for the fixed because this is when family is moving from an house to another one. And so that in September especially, you are able to take some clients in the fix better than on other periods.
And sorry, if I may, on the 2019 outlook, do you think market dynamics as they are today are sustainable? Do you think
selling? I don't know. We'll see. But what is important for us is the growth in terms of sales. It is not by ABPU that we will increase our profitability. It is with our sales growth, and we will continue to focus on this next year. So you can have a decrease in ABPU just because of a mix effect. For example, if we take a huge number of clients in the SIM-only web-only market, but still have our stable level of clients in the premium market, you will see a decrease in terms of ABPU, but this is a positive impact in terms of total sales. So don't focus too much on ABPU. It is not the good indicator.
No, that's clear. That's clear. But if I may, I just wanted to understand if, you know, very aggressive promotions like selling SIM-only for €5 with generous data allowances for life, this type of dynamics, at some point, aren't you worried that this may represent a drag also for the premium market? Because, I mean, if the low end of the market goes too low, at some point, there could be some spillover effect also at the higher end of the market. Do you have any concern on this side?
You know, we are not the best to answer to this question because we never start the promotion. We only answer to promotion. So please ask this question to the promoter of this very aggressive policy, and you will have an answer. For us,
we only be in the position of duplicate a promotion. So if the promotion continue through some actors, definitely we will continue to reply. If there is no more big promotion, then we will come back to a smoother situation. So clearly, the aggressivity of the market doesn't depend on us.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Operator?
We currently have no further questions coming through. So one last reminder, it's star one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question.
So no more?
We have no further questions coming through.
Okay. So thank you for joining us today. We will be announcing full year 2018 sales and earnings on the 21st February 2019. Should you have any question, please contact our investor relations team. Thank you very much and have a good day. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Bouygues third quarter 2018 results conference call. Thank you all for your participation, and you may now disconnect your handsets.